Happy to be here this morning. Romans chapter 4. That's right, Donnie. Romans chapter 4. I keep waiting on Jason to come running through here with that big old wig on one Sunday morning. Y'all seen him with that thing on? I got some video that he'd kill me if I showed y'all. Right, yeah. Romans chapter 4. Let's start at verse 17. You there? Amen. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he had believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I want you to make big notes in your Bible or on your notepad or on your arm if you have to. Write the word fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Absolutely, fully persuaded. Romans chapter 8, let's start at 37. Nay, in all things, are you there yet? Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is my favorite two verses in the Bible I'm about to read to you. For I am persuaded, or you can actually say fully persuaded, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation, person around you, shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, why do I tie those things together? Because one works in tandem with the other. You could be fully persuaded of what the Word says, but not believe He loves you to the point that He'll perform it for you. The problem is not an issue with God. The problem with this church and every other church, with this believer standing before you and every believer in this room versus every other believer, is are you fully persuaded of what God has for you? You have to be persuaded fully of what He has for you before you can ever say you've heard Him speak to you. How ironic it is for people to come in here on a Sunday morning and we are lay ourselves before the altar and worship and cry and groan and love the Lord. And that's wonderful. But if you walk out of here and you walk back into debt and you walk back into things breaking you down every day and you walk back into situations where you see no way out and you walk back where you have no victory and you walk back into depression, you are not fully persuaded of anything other than the fact that you had church. When really, God would rather see results in your life than you come in here and worship. You understand this is supposed to be the meeting place where I can actually let the mic go and you celebrate what God did for you last week, not whine about what's coming next week. That's why we don't have testimony services anymore. Became whining services. Well, Brother Allen, the devil's just been after me. No, sir. You're where you're at because you made choices. We give the devil way too much credit. Now, don't get me wrong. There's an enemy loose. Don't get me wrong. But you're a believer. You're somebody who hears the word every week. You're somebody who should be focused on what he's saying, not what the enemy's saying. You're somebody who should be focused on what was the last thing the Lord said to you? Well, I need this to come in, and I need this to happen. I can't do this because I need to do that. And you just live in, look, I know what it's like. I'm still struggling my way out of paycheck to paycheck. I know what that's like. But April and I took a good, long, hard look of where we were at this time last year. Honey, that ain't no comparison how much better we are this year. I can't remember the numbers. She can. Y'all know I don't like to talk about it too much, but when I got hurt and I went 6 years with no income, the year before that, I believe it was, we had tithed and given. We understood seed time and harvest, and we were sowing toward this today. And I think I'd made what, $18,000 that year, which is pennies. And we got audited. Why would you audit somebody who only made $18,000? But anyway, I don't even want to get into politics. But they audited us and ended up having to give us money back again because they said there's no way you can make this amount of money and give what you give. Now, the government said that, but we did it, and we'll continue to do it. Does that make us special? No, but makes him. I was fully persuaded. Y'all, listen, I remember a point in my life, and I'm so sad that I let frustration of ministry pull me away from that. But I remember a time in my life that I was so fully persuaded of God's promises in my life, she couldn't pull me away, she couldn't pull me away, she couldn't pull me away, he couldn't, nobody. Nobody's voice mattered to the point that I was almost rude, I was cold, I was ugly. I was like, this is what God said. Now, I understand being fully persuaded, but I had to learn how to love. You know what I mean? But in trying to learn how to love, I let go of something, Donnie. I just let go of something. And I'm beginning to realize I let go of the fact that I stopped letting God be fully persuaded that he could use me. Let that sink in a minute. Is God fully persuaded that he can use every person in this room? Is there anything in your life that takes precedence over what God's trying to do in your life? I guarantee you that if we pass the mic, starting with me, that there's stuff we all got to look at. Listen, you got a man of God coming next week who has heard God. April was on the phone with him all day Friday. I can't even remember how this all started. He don't know, listen, whatever he comes here to say, he don't know nothing about this church. He's been here one time. He don't know nothing about the inner workings. All he knows is a few of the same people I know. That's how that came to pass. But when a man will say, I know there's 1,000 kids that have no home in Mexico that I'm supposed to go start. This is our first meeting. I'm supposed to be in Mexico. But God said, come here. For nothing. Won't even let us get him a hotel room. Refused. I'll take care of it myself because I heard God. Fully persuaded. Now that's changing your schedule right there. Now, I promise you that anybody that will be that serious about doing that, there's an impartation coming. If you miss it, it's on you. I don't want to hear another person in this church talk about, this is where we're going, Pastor. If you can't be fully persuaded that God will change everything for you, then all you are is somebody who talks church. I want to read you some things today. I'm not going to preach to you long, I promise you. I'm just going to read some things to you. This came to me about a month before we got this building. Somebody that I love dearly in the ministry sent me this text. He was in prayer, and the prophetic spirit came on him, and he texted me this. I've never shared this with this church. And then right behind him, another man of God that I trust dearly sent me the next one. So this is the first one. And I kind of shortened it down from the things he was saying to me personally. He said, you are seeing big things ahead as well as now. Nations and thousands are ahead in this season. Brighter and greater ways. New streams of the anointing coming your way. Fresh fire is taking you higher than you've ever thought. Doors are opening in Jesus' name. And the cream will rise to the top. But some will flop. This guy in the prophetic, he kind of rhymes. It's really funny, but it's great. The cream will rise to the top and some will flop. But to know that it's the call and the word, those will raise, God will use those to raise up a new crop. Manifested speed shall come. You'll have the tools to get the job done, for I have equipped you in this hour to raise up a generation of sons. No more delays, no more old ways. This day you must work the works while the sun is still shining, for I've given you every son to do everything you need. I'm sorry, I've given you, son, everything you need. You have no lack from my point of view. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, for the days of struggle are over. But in all of that, you know what I heard? This is what I heard. You have no lack from my point of view. Now, that's not a man talking. Do you realize that there are times in my life, and I don't say things generally. I'd like to use myself as an example because I don't want to offend anybody. But there were times in my life when we had a bill that had to be paid like now. Like right now. Stress and worry and just tied up in knots. And God always provided. It always came through, but yet it seemed like it was always a fight. And then one day, God spoke to me so clear. I was pressed like, God, why is it always this way? And God said, do you realize to me it wasn't even close? And I thought, whew, that makes things easier. Now, this is what came in 2 days after that. The days of being small in your own sight is over. Yet as individuals, talking about the church, yet as individuals you must stay small, talking about in your own eyes, and allow the Spirit of God to be big. So corporately, you are the kingdom. You are to no longer see a small group of Christians, but a largely powerful kingdom builder association of ambassadors. This man was talking about us. That's a big deal. That don't excite y'all? Man, that excites me. Let me tell you why I'm sharing all this with you today. Because I was sitting in my office this morning and out here in prayer, and the Lord started speaking to me to go back. And I'm really against looking back. I'm really against anything that was yesterday is over, and let's look at today forward. That's just the way I've always lived. Because there's too much bad in the past. There's too many things that went wrong, too many places of failure. But the Lord prompted me to look back. And I look back at not just this ministry, but these people. And I look back at when so many of you that I've just met in the last year, and so many of you that I've known for years, and I look at your lives, and I don't know intimate personal details, nor do I need to know. But what I have seen, even when I pull myself back from trying to run the ministry, I see the lives of the people in a completely different place than they were when I met you. Good, bad, or indifferent. Now, that's up to you where it's at. I'm not going to say good, bad. I'm just saying nobody's at the same place. I'm not at the same place. I'm not the same pastor you knew when we walked in these doors. I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same guy y'all knew 3 months ago. The guy you knew 3 months ago, y'all should have fired him. Goodness gracious alive. Y'all should, I'm just going to give you a slight rebuke. Y'all should never let me get that stress. What's wrong with y'all? That's all y'all's fault. Y'all know that, don't you? I'm playing. I'm just messing with you. The Bible says that Abraham was fully persuaded, yet everything in his life was dead, except for his money. How ironic. His body was dead. Sarah's womb was dead. Everything that would take to make seed work and get where it needs, everything was dead. Everything was dead. That's why when God came and told him he was going to have a kid, that's why Sarah giggled, because she's like, hey, yeah, I lay next to that man every night. I know we ain't going to have no kid. Yeah, y'all cover fat. It's true. It's Bible. We adults, right? Y'all like, did he say that? Shh, trust me, there's plenty of other things. Dean Sykes said to me one time, he said something, I popped off back at him. And he said, you know, the things that you say, I said, Dean, you need to thank God about the things I don't say. Dean Sykes said, and April loved this, is April's favorite quote. Dean Sykes said, "Never has a truer word been spoken." So now I'm learning to think twice instead of just once. But anyway, she knew everything was dead. He knew it. He knew life wasn't working. But the point is not that they had a child. The point is not that things worked that didn't work. Point was, it didn't matter if it was already dead or the bill was late or if you're in court over it. None of that matters. God still said. Now listen, I hate it. You have no idea. When I hear somebody say, especially a believer, when I hear somebody say, oh, flippantly, God's in control, I want to eat a coat hanger. It makes me so mad. Because God is only in control of the life of a believer who is fully persuaded by the Word and using the Word. That is the only way. Anybody who says fleeces, they lay a fleece before, well, I just laid a fleece before the Lord. You just gave this present prince of this atmosphere an opportunity to shift you into a wrong direction. You walk by faith, not by fleece. You live by what you give. You live by what you sow, not by what you earn. God, listen, I'm going to take, you need to take everything you believe and turn it upside down, because that's how God is. Everything's the opposite. God says, love your enemy. Why? When you want to hit them in the face. Somebody talking about you, talking about, there's people right now that should be here. They're not. And they should be, but yet rather than being here, they're out talking about us and saying things about us and about me specifically, and I don't care about that stuff. But I really don't want to run up and give them a 50. But yet God says, bless those. You call me what? Bless God. I'm not there, brother. I'm not. Can I be real? I'm not there in that area. There's still too much Allen in here for that. Allen will fake you with a 50 and hit you with a left. I mean, that's just how it is. Look what I got. Two to the gut and one to the eye. Right? But I need to learn to be fully persuaded that I'm what he says, not what they say. Amen? If you can become fully persuaded in what he's trying to get into you, your life can change, and I mean quickly. Quickly. Little hinges swing big, big, big doors. Is everybody, y'all not as, I don't see blankets out this morning, so y'all not quite as cold. You know what that was? A little adjustment. Just a little one. I don't like coming in and seeing people like they're camping. You know? And the problem is I can't reach him, and I don't want to come out here during praise team and get that ladder out. You know, David and Jason singing their heart out. Y'all ain't paying no attention because y'all won't see me fall. Now go back. I tell you what, go to Hebrews chapter 11 for me. Let me tell you why it's important that you become fully persuaded. We're going to deal with that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Stop. Faith people, or childish faith people, think because they tithe or because they gave or because they prayed once that it should just pop in their driveway. It's the evidence of things unseen. I have a prophecy. It's not a prophecy, it's a word of knowledge. From two different men in my life, Matt Gober being one of them, called up out of the blue and said, you fix to have a car, and it's a nice one. That's just how he said it. And it's a nice one. So every day, my confession, when we're praying, she gets tickled while we're praying, because I'll go, God, I thank you for that nice one. It's coming. It's the evidence of things not seen. It was correlated by another man of God. These two men don't know each other. What does that mean? You're special or you need a new car? No, that means I'm his son. He loves me. He loves me. I didn't ask God for a new car. I ain't even got it yet in the physical. But in the spiritual realm, it's declared, it's done, so there it is. Now, go down to verse 6. I tell you what, let's read verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, first. Secondly, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm at a place in my life, I just want more of him. I don't want to know 3 more points to be a better teacher. I don't want to work on my style to be a better preacher. I'm not asking God for more spiritual gifts because I've learned how to operate in. You know, now my prayer is, God, I just want more of you, Lord. With that comes struggle because now your flesh gets involved. And you think you're hearing God, and you know, and you have to fight back through. Remember the suffering when I taught you about suffering, how suffering in the Bible is not physical suffering of cancer or AIDS or anything like that. Suffering is your mind trying to get out of the way of your spirit. That's suffering. That's a battle going on inside of you. Because your mind will tell you that you have got to do this. And you'll hear of this. And I honestly can't tell you. I wish I could go into the story, but God just won't let me. I'll give you the parameters, but I can't go deep into it. Actually, this ministry should be so much further along and have so many different connections right now. But because a few years before we started it, God was trying to put me in position to meet a man who could have done some awesome things. We've actually talked about this since then. We both have said the same things. If we'd have met years ago, it would be completely different. I disobeyed. I had a schedule. I had something. This is what I'm going to do. Bless God, me and April are going to do this. Me and the kids, we're going. And I missed an opportunity that God was setting up because I never even prayed about it. And if your first response is always, well, this is what I've got going on, you're missing God. God has not got an issue with you doing that. Please don't take it that way, because immediately somebody's going to call me and say that. God doesn't have an issue with you doing things. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is that there are situations where there are impartations. There are situations where there is something that's going to be released. There are thresholds that we need to get over. And sometimes it takes something to mess you up, to get you all up out of what you think should happen, to get you in a place that you can go somewhere you've never been, because you took the time to hear something from God that you never tried to hear before. You have got to realize God has called you to a greater plane than what you're living on. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm called to. I know what God wants to build in this area. And here's the problem. I'm gonna be dead level honest. I've been in training, quote unquote, in 2 different ministries. This mic is pulling on me. The one thing that shut both of those churches down from the great levels they were on were either the people stopped honoring the visionary or the visionary stopped honoring the people. That's the truth of the matter. Well, you saying this because October's coming. I honestly could care less. I've heard God. I'll honor everybody in this church because I'm not a pastor unless you're here. The calling is still there, of course. But the truth of the matter is, everybody in this room, we've all have areas that you're not persuaded God's in them. You're not. You're not. Because if you were, I couldn't shut you up. If you were fully persuaded in every area that God's working, y'all be running these aisles during praise and worship. Well, you trying to build a Pentecostal church? No, I'm not. I'm trying to build an excited church. I'm trying to get you excited about the fact God has better for you. God has so much better. Above all, you can ask or think. My Lord, that's huge. And the only way to please God, but without faith. Now see, we stop there, Frank, as us Word of Faith teachers. We stop there. I'm not calling Frank out, but this is what we do. I do it just like he does it, and we've all done it. And we talk about faith, 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 but we never go on into rewarder of those who diligently seek. Frank, you might. I don't. I'm not going to put that on him. We get in this place, especially the Word of Faith circles. The Word of Faith circles that I run with, the biggest obstacle they have with people is sometimes they seem on levels you can't attain. You know what I'm saying? You ever been to there where you just, they seem like, but I'm telling you the simplicity of that, they don't feel that way in their hearts. They don't. It's just not, sometimes what you see on TV, you're not getting, I used to judge Creflo Dollar because of what I saw on TV. He's all about money. He's all about money. He's all about money. Now, I understood seed time and harvest, but it's all about money. It's all about money. And I went to a minister's conference against my will. I didn't want to go, but I went to one of his minister's conference, and I heard his heart and laid on that man's altar and cried in repentance. Gave every penny I had. Why? Because not for him, but because everything I got is yours, God. And if I judge everything this man, I judge this man's ministry on a 30-minute TV show and never sat there and heard his heart. And we all do that. So what's my point? What am I trying to tell you? This is what the Lord said to me this morning. I want to share something with you. As I was sitting in my office, and I'm going to struggle to read this because my hand was shaking because I was hearing God. I didn't hear practice. I didn't hear praise and worship. I didn't even know where y'all were when I came out the door. I was listening. God was had me writing some stuff down. This is what God said now. My people are not fully persuaded that I am Lord of all. They confess with their mouth that I'm good, but they live as if living by chance is more effective than living by faith. Teach them. Tell them of my great love and benefits. Tell them to become fully persuaded by my word as a guide and by my voice as an instruction. I have great things ahead for them if they would only trust and be fully persuaded with absolutely no input from the world or even their own flesh. Things will adjust rapidly as they follow my meeting. I charge thee, teach them, son, teach them quickly. Something in that kind of sticks out to me more than all the rest. To listen to his leading with no influence from the world or even your own flesh. The world is always going to try to stop you from going up. We live in a fallen creation. We could be faith people all day long. Stuff's still going to happen. Faith is not to keep you from things. It's how you react to things. Amen? That's faith. Faith is not to put you on a level to where you're walking this life to where it's all phenomenal all the time. I don't care. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I look at Kenneth Copeland's ministry and all these ministries, and I used to want that. I did. I really used to. I don't want it anymore. I don't. Let me tell you, because I've seen the headaches them boys go through. I mean, I've seen the headaches that they go through with 20,000 people in an arena, and we're talking about just one service. Imagine having to do that on a daily basis. They do that every day. I've learned that when you've got a man down the road with three people looking at us saying, man, I wish I had what they had. Then you've got me looking down the road at another church saying, at the Highlands, man, I wish I had what they had. And the Highlands looking at Creflo, man, I wish I had what they had. But they don't understand it's Creflo looking back at us saying, I wish I was there again. Because there it was peaceful. There, I didn't have to have $5 million every Friday. There, I got to know people. I got to talk to people. I got to release personally. There, I got to be pastor. See, there's something that happens when you shift up to bishop, when you shift up to the apostolic and to the apostle anointing. Something happens to where you're put on a place where there's so many people that you can't talk to everybody, so you don't talk to anybody because you'll offend somebody. Thank God that we're not there yet. We will be one day, but it's going to be built on a core of people who will lay everything down, including their own flesh, their own attitudes, their own way of doing things, their own life outside of here. I'm not asking you not to enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying. I think with God, you should enjoy life. But when a man of God says, I'm calling, and I'm talking about me, when I say God's called a 21-day fast, that should be okay. The visionary has spoken. Because you trust me, not because you like me. Amen, Pastor. If you don't trust me, why are you coming here? If you don't believe that God speaks through this pulpit, whether it be me or anybody else, why do you come here? If you don't believe that this praise team is anointed, can go into the... Listen, they are. My Lord, within... Did you feel the shift? Did you feel it? Just boom. All hearts sink. That's why they're shifting. And I know I'm throwing them curveballs, but that's why they're shifting into a new style of music, because it's one voice with one audience, with one person, and one goal. Because that's how this church has got to be built. There's no big me's and little you's. It's love and love. And if it can't be love and love, then sell it. Because I am fully persuaded of what I'm called to do. I am called to release the now voice of God. I am called to release what He's saying to His people. And what He's saying to you today is become fully persuaded in every area. Question everything you believe, question it. I'm going to challenge you to do that. Well, I believe everybody should pray in the Holy Ghost. Okay, why? Question it. I believe it should all be teaching. I believe it should all be singing. I believe it should all be prophetic. I believe it should... Okay, why? Question everything you believe. If you're unwilling to get into the Word and let God show you why you believe what you believe and where you're wrong or right, you're not fully persuaded. You don't trust. There was a time in my life, faith was big in me. I understood faith. I still understand faith. Trust wasn't. You got to understand, from the time in sixth grade, I was 12 years old. From the time from 12 years old to, I believe it was 14 years old, I went to 13 funerals, friends and family. 13. My dad, my uncle, my aunt, my dad, two uncles, my aunt, my grandfather, my grandmother, kid in school got hit by lightning. My best friend got hit by a drunk driver. I just cannot tell you. So by seventh grade, everybody's going to leave me eventually. So to heck with all y'all. Y'all want to know why I'm such a gruff person? That's just the way, that's what happened to me. I can cut you off like that because I'm not going to let you hurt me. Not that you mean to, but one day you're going to be gone. In ministry, that's kind of an attribute, because I can let people go pretty easy if they decide they want to leave. But what it did is it stopped me from trusting you. It stopped me. I mean, it put me to the place, if David got up, walked up here and said, God told me to give you this $100. By faith, I would receive it. That's $100. But trust, antitrust would say, he's working on something. He's working me. That's what would happen. And I challenge you to think back. I guarantee you that's in a lot of us. Just with me, it was more open. And I know exactly why. Just like I know why I don't like my food to touch. I know why that is. Y'all come to my house and eat out with my plate, there's little rolls where something touched. I'll eat right up to it. Because my dad was dying of cancer. And I spent 3 years eating in the hospital with him on trays. It didn't touch. So beef stew just screwed me all up. Like, there ain't no way I'm eating that. You're crazy. Literally, when April and I first got married, I would pick the beef out and just eat it. She's like, our worst fights, even to this day, our worst fights have been over food. But the point being, being fully persuaded is being fully trusting. You ever been full at Thanksgiving? You watching the Lions play, because Detroit's always on at Thanksgiving. I don't understand why. But you watching the game, you got and y'all got that uncle that popped the pants open. Whew, he full. You can't shove nothing else down there. You can't get nothing else. He'll try and he'll pop. And every once in a while you'll hear, whew. Y'all got that guy in your family? Some of y'all thinking, that's dad. I know. What's my point? He's full. absolutely full. See, you'll never forget this point. That's where God wants you. God wants you so full of what he's putting into you that you can't even move without having to think of what you're full of. That boy tried to get up off that couch. He's struggling. Yeah, like April being her eighth month, just trying to get up. And I would laugh at her. I was a bad husband, y'all. I should have went over there and just, and I was like, look at that. Y'all, look at that. It was awful. I know. I got better toward the end. That's why God gave us 10 kids by the 10th when I was good at it. First three, man, I was in trouble all the time. Probably like today. But when you bump into something bigger than you. See, the reason I never walked away from God, although I didn't trust some of the things I'd learned, is because that night that God delivered me, I ran into something bigger and badder than I was. I didn't understand the love of it. I knew he loved me. I didn't understand that faith and trust, although they correlate, are two very different things. I didn't understand those things. Trust is intimate. Trust, see, it's easy to say you believe something. I believe the Bible, but you might not know anything that's in it, but you believe it, right? How many people you know say they believe the Bible? They believe there's a God. They believe all these things. But do you trust him enough to give him your soul? Do you trust him enough to give him your money? Do you trust him enough to give him your heart? Do you trust him enough to give him your talent? Do you trust him enough to give him your schedule? Do you trust him enough to give him your job? God's told me to quit jobs before, y'all. Remember that when I left the TV station? You remember too. I was standing in the shower. That place had me so stressed out, I was throwing up in the morning. My hair was turning gray, was it not? It was falling out. I wanted to kill that boy. I did. Still do. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get free from that one day. I was standing in the shower, and God spoke clear. Because, see, God told me to go there. God gave me the job. God said, I need you to learn how to do production. That'll become a big part of your ministry down the road. Clearly, God said, if you go back, you go without me. Now, those are big words. So I didn't go back. Well, you didn't give 2 weeks' notice? No, God didn't say 2 weeks. He said, don't go back. I didn't go back for a paycheck. I didn't go back for nothing. I didn't go back. Never walked back in the building. When I drive by it now, I go all the way around because God said, don't go back. That's how serious I am because I trust him now. Now, well, that's just stupid in this economy. Well, we didn't hurt. We never did without. Matter of fact, we did better within a year. We were doing better than we were then. How? I can't tell you how. God just took care of us through that. Now, that is not something. Don't run out and quit your jobs because you're mad at somebody. I'm just telling you. I heard God. Y'all don't understand. This CD ain't going nowhere, so I can share this with you. Y'all don't understand. It was a dangerous work environment. Had a gun pulled on me in that situation. This was early. This wasn't even then. This was like a year before. I should have killed him then and gotten forgiveness. I'm struggling with it. I'm just telling you. I was raised in the school, if you're going to pull a gun, shoot somebody. I know I'm in Walker County, y'all. So that's right. The biggest shout I got all day long was when I said shoot somebody. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's right. Oh, honky tonkers are speaking up now. That's why I'm glad he's my armor bearer. I'll just be honest with you. Oh, you said what? No, I'm playing. Y'all, God said, be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded isn't I heard the voice of God, but fully persuaded isn't, you know, Lord, I and this is probably where most people struggle. Lord, I give my tithes, but it seems like I'm struggling all the time. Well, are you using the word? Listen, if you don't know how to be a tither, not just tithe, if you don't know how, learn how, because you're really just throwing your money away. Well, pastor shouldn't say that. He's going to lose it. My trust is in God. and I want to teach you how. And those are things that are coming. But I have to prepare you to understand being fully persuaded. If he's dealing with you, he's got a reason. If he's asking you, he's got a point. If he's drawing it out of you, it's because he needs room to put more stuff in you. Does that make sense? Now, fully persuaded. Let me try to deal with one other thing real quick, and then we'll go. Go back to Hebrews for me. Verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God. Y'all standing around waiting on God to come to y'all. Now, we could talk about faith and pleasing God, and we could talk about the diligence and the reward, but we're missing the key of you going to him. Amen? How many times do we get in a place, especially us tongue talkers, to where we waiting on you, Lord? We just going to lay on the floor and pray in tongues for an hour and wait on you and wait on you. And if God's drawing you to that, that's fine. But if that is your prayer time, you're wrong. If the word is not near you and God is not speaking to you through that word, you ain't tapped in yet. Because most of the time, you're praying out of your brain. God can't use that. Your soul is not to be in charge. It's your spirit and spirit alone. That's why I'm telling you beyond a shadow of a doubt, God wants to use every person in this room as you learn his word and hear the instruction of his voice. Too many people can hear his voice, but they don't know his word. So they see manifestations, but yet they don't know how to keep them. How many people do you know, my Lord, I'm telling you, I know of several people who have gotten healed. Physically healed. I've watched legs grow out. We've seen things. We've seen tumors fall off. We've seen all these things happen, but yet they don't keep it because they're too lazy to get in the Word and learn healing scriptures. Well, God healed me. Well, that's enough. No, it's not. It's one thing to have a manifestation. It's another thing to have who He is all the time. To the point that every word you speak is His word. Full. Remember full. Just every time He moves, He knows what He ate. And I want you, every time you walk out of here, I want you to know what you just ate. Every time you run into somebody at Ruby Tuesdays or God in Heaven, don't go there, or at Cabos or whatever restaurant you go to, you remember everything. I don't want a group of people that's sitting around shouting about how good church was, but all they can tell you is it was good. That's what we don't need. Amen? Stand to your feet with me.